I just want to thank the Lord for all that He is and all that He means to me. It's wonderful to get to serve Him. I think of our journey. We're all on a journey, and we all want to go to heaven. I believe that without a doubt. And there are provisions made along the way of me helping you or you helping me. I think in a sense, I like to imagine things sometimes, and I picture in my mind a underground bunker or tunnel type thing, and that is our life here. We're in a darkness spiritually, so to speak, and outside is the light, and we do everything we can to help everyone to be able to escape to that wonderful world of light and eternity. So whatever that is, a helping hand of helping them up the ladder or passing them along, words of encouragement, don't give up, keep going. Maybe you're doing that to me. We're all on a journey to heaven together. We want to make it to heaven. So along the way, there are, like I said, provisions along the way. And I'd like to turn to Jude, the book of Jude. And while you're turning there, I'm going to write on the board a little phrase. What is man? So if you look it into the Word of God in Jude, the 21st verse, it says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." So we see here two different methods of gathering a soul in. You do hear sometimes hellfire and brimstone messages is what they will call them, or judgment messages. And they have a purpose, and it's to pull us out of the fire. It's to pull us along, to give us a certain fear so that we understand there is a reality of the life after if you don't make heaven your home. So it's not to be buttered up or to be coated over. It's a serious thing, and we thank the Lord for that. And then there are messages that come down like a falling rain and bring such a conviction to a heart that it melts them, and they are easily convicted of their sins, and they come to a place of repentance. Either method works, and either method is from the Lord. But what happens along the way, and maybe this message is probably more for me than anybody else, so just bear with me. When there are leaders along the way, or those who are in a ministering position or a teaching position or any kind of position that is promoting the cause of Christ, as in maybe even a missionary, all of those things are simply aids to help us along the way. But sometimes people misconstrue that. They misunderstand it. And I believe that we have a society, and I don't think it's any different than any other society, when there comes places of heroic acts, the people tend to want to make a hero out of them. And I would like to understand that's never the Lord's plan. The only hero that really existed is Jesus. And He handled it well. And He's worthy to be praised and honored and glorified, and Him only. Okay? So I'd like for you to turn with me to Acts, the 3rd chapter. Because Peter and John faced this a little bit. Paul faced this. And it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Rise up and walk. I've thought about that. He was used to receiving the silver and the gold. And what Peter was saying is, I don't have anything that can solve your problems. But let me tell you about one who can. So as a mouthpiece for the Lord, in whatever duty the Lord gives you to do, we don't have anything. We do not have anything, but God is everything. So we give you Jesus. I can't give you if there's an affliction, I can't give you a home remedy that might help it. I can't give you a doctor recommendation. I can't give you the money to go get it taken care of, but I can give you Jesus. And that's where we need to recognize where the power comes from, is Jesus. But what happened was, and he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He's like, wait a minute, because they were getting ready to worship them. They were getting ready to lift them up. And he says, wait a minute. We are men just like you. We are servants of the Most High God. And he preached a beautiful message there. He said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? We have nothing to offer. What is man? We are simply a servant for the Lord. All of us are simply a servant for the Lord. However we can aid our brother, our sister, in whatever degree that is. There are going to be some people, do you know that the parable that the Lord gave of the penny? There was a penny given to those that worked 1 hour, just the same as those that worked 12 hours. It's the same reward, and we want everyone. We don't want to begrudge someone who works very little in the harvest. We want them to receive the penny too. And if somehow our duty has been to work longer and sweat harder, we get a penny. It's really more than that. It's just he was giving an equality to that value. And what that means is eternal life for all of us. We want to all get it. I don't want to begrudge anyone. If there is any place of duty, of responsibility that the Lord has given to you, rejoice in that. Be happy in that. Do everything you can in that to bolster the Word of God, the people of God. But understand, it's still all God. It's all His. I thank the Lord for that. And so he expounded to them, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. 26th verse. He summed it all up right there. I can't forgive you. I can't heal you. But I can certainly tell you about the one who can. I can't advise you in this matter. But I can tell you the one who is a wonderful counselor. I can recommend him. And that's where we stand. So I would like for us to turn to Acts, the 19th chapter, and the 13th verse. Well, let's go back up. Let's go to the 11th verse, because there's something happening with Paul. Same thing. He understands, and when he was on the road to Damascus, his deliverance, his repentance, was a total different story than most people's story, because he was a totally different man than most people are. But he's not above or below, and he understood that right off. And he said, I am just a servant for the Lord. And he determined in his heart that he would wear himself out for God. That was just his personality, and that's what he did. He went to the very end, and he used every available aspect to further the gospel. And I remember Sister X saying years ago, she said, you know, he was imprisoned, and sometimes we wonder, how can that be when he was such a mighty apostle of God, and why couldn't he spread the gospel? And she said, do you know, if he had not been in prison, we would not have most of our New Testament. But he was in prison, and he was writing, and he was writing, and he was writing, and he was ministering to the people through the word. And how blessed we are because of his imprisonment. But it didn't stop him. The circumstances did not stop him from aiding and abetting the word of God and salvation. But it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And I feel like the Lord could trust Paul with that, because he knew that Paul was not going to get lifted up. Paul knew exactly where he was at. He was a zero. He needed God to fill him. And I believe that the Lord wants to do something special, but we're just not over ourselves. We just still feel like that maybe we do have a special talent and ability, but we need to empty ourselves of that and understand it's all God. It's all God. Whatever I do is all for the Lord. And so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's powerful. That is powerful. And I really feel like the Lord allowed that to happen through Paul, because Paul knew where he was at. He knew he was just a mere mortal serving the Lord in every past capacity he could. But he understood where he was at. Now we have a circumstance that's totally different. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. So they were taking this power into their own hands and using their own ability, and it was tragic, the ending of it. And there were seven sons of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. But the evil spirit recognized, you're coming to me in your own strength, and it ain't going to work. And we must recognize, if we go to fight the battles in our own strength, we will be destroyed in that. We will be stripped in that. And this is what happened. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You're not coming in the name of Jesus. You're not completely empty of yourselves. You're wanting to try to borrow this power to defeat me, the evil spirit, and you're not coming from God at all. You're coming from your own strength. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And I can see why that fear would fall, because you have to recognize it has to be through God. It can't be of our own abilities, our own talents, our own desires. Galatians, the sixth chapter. There's a lot of perspective in this. It says, sixth chapter in the second verse, or the first verse, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Restore him in the same spirit that you would want to be restored in. I've thought of that a lot. When we handle situations, would we like someone handling us that way? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself, and it will get you into trouble. You try doing the work of the Lord in your own strength, it's damaging. It's very damaging. But if you empty yourself out of everything that you are and all that you can do, and give it to God. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And that's everything. It was the healing of that man. It was the healing of that crippled man. All right, let's go to Paul. Let's talk about him a little more. Acts, the 19th chapter. And the 11th verse. Well, we just read that. I'm sorry. Then we'll go to 2 Corinthians. And this is the one that we're all familiar with. And the trouble he was facing there. 2 Corinthians 12. But he recognized, I'm glad for this happening, because it shows us the humanity of Paul and his admission that I could get lifted up and aprons being brought to me and me praying over them and people being delivered. But because he has chosen a special path for me, he is keeping me humbled. So let's read about that. It said in the 5th verse, 12th chapter, 5th verse, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. It's just so human for us to lift up the one that we see the power of God working through. It's just so easy. But that's a tendency to worship man and not worship God. And this is what he was saying. I don't want that to happen. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And why wouldn't he be? Because there was a lot happening through his hands. You think about that. But he knew where he was at. He understood who he was. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, because messengers of Satan are no fun to deal with. Thorns in the flesh are no fun to deal with. It's a constant aggravation. It's a constant pain. It might keep you up at night. Whatever it was, if it was physical, if it was emotional, if it was mental, if it was a physical person sitting next to him, I don't know. Was it a guard? Was it a physical affliction? We're not real sure what that was. But we don't have to know, because he was saying, lest I should be exalted. And you know, sometimes the Lord wants us to suffer a few things so that we won't be exalted either. Since for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient completely enough for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, if I skip this battle, then I have defeated the whole purpose of why I'm here. If I skip this, then the Lord can't use me. If I delete this part of my life, then I can't get the glory to God. It'll be all glory to me. And that's a very dangerous place. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. He knew what he was. I'm nothing. Though I be the chiefest, you might consider me that. And he did. He did a lot. He worked hard. He wore himself out for the Lord. But he says, I'm nothing. It is not of me. I am glad to glorify this great Savior who decided to save my soul. If we'll go to Psalms, the 8th chapter. Don't just act humble. Just be humble. Psalm 8 and 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Have you ever sat out under the clouds or under the sky, a star of a starlit night? And have you ever thought about the pictures that they have out in space of Earth and how small it looks in space? But you get up to it and it's much bigger, housing billions of people. It says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And if you'll go on down, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. David recognized who he was too. Nothing. Who art thou to be mindful of little o' me? But we can magnify him, we can praise him, we can glorify him in all things because that's who rightly deserves it. And when we lay aside ourself, then the Lord can completely use us. But it's when we're sticking to our special abilities or our special talents or our special gifts that trips us up. It does. It hinders. It hinders the work of the Lord. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Luke, the 17th chapter. We're all here for each other. I want to go to heaven, and I want all of y'all to go too. Whatever it takes, I want that. Luke, the 17th chapter and the 10th verse. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, and we have done that which was our duty to do. There's no glorying in the flesh in that. There's no saying, I have reached thousands of souls. Because of my ministry, I have touched thousands of lives. I really think many times we don't ever see the effect because I don't think we can handle the effect. I don't think we're supposed to see the effect of the seeds that we sow. Somebody else might see the reaping. We might see a little bit of reaping, but I don't think we were really meant to see the reaping because I don't think we can handle it very well. But I want to encourage you to know that all things are in his hands. And if we consider ourselves an unprofitable servant, then he can greatly use us in his kingdom. Because silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I desire you pray for me.